I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
I think I've been turned simultaneously into a climate activist and a climate change denier at the same time. Because if you look back in history, rapid climate change was almost always, at least partly, the reason why civilizations fell.
Arnold, example.
Even like the late Bronze Age, it's like one of the most prominent theories that it had to do with climate change that forced people from the north to migrate to the south because of drought and crops failing and things like that. In Mesopotamia, this happened quite often, and people in the marshes in the beginning of the Mesopotamian era, I think it was before Uruk even, with rising sea levels, like totally obliterated their villages and so on. And it happened at a very fast pace. So this is why I'm like, first of all, there are like many narratives when it comes to how climate change is happening now and how it has been historically. And one of them, at least how I have understood it, that rapid, at least how the messaging is right now, that rapid climate change was unusual in the past, and it is happening now mostly just because of, you know, human activity.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a lie. That's not true. Rapid climate change has happened a lot in the past.
Yeah.
But I agree that it seems, I'm not an expert, but it seems that there is, I know you don't like this word, but the consensus that that climate change, there's a lot of like human activities contributing greatly to the climate change right now.
Ja, men det köper jag. Det tycker jag inte, det är inte så konstigt. Men om jag formulerar om det då. Samhällen har kollapsat på grund av rapid environmental change.
Mm.
Det är ett sätt att formulera det på.
Mm.
Ett annat sätt att formulera på, det är samhällen kollapsar på grund av matbrist.
Mm.
Som är en effekt av climate change.
Ja.
Skulle climate change idag definitivt leda till matbrist?
That's the thing. I think...
Alltså för alla, menar jag då.
För alla. Depends. The problem is like our world right now is very interconnected. Again, something that led to maybe partly the downfall in the late Bronze Age, because like all the empires and so on and the cities were connected very much by trade and they were dependent on each other.
Mm-hmm.
So when one of them fell, you suddenly have like, you know, a shortage in råvara som du verkligen behöver.
Yeah.
And then you can't manage anymore. And the same thing kind of here, you know, if we were kind of isolated and self-sustainable, each country or territory on its own, you can say that we could have survived. But, you know, take like the energy crisis or whatever. We are so dependent on other countries in a way that can lead to each country's collapse whenever a country that you're dependent on collapses. You understand what I mean?
Jag är med. Jag försöker break it down. Okej, om vi tar Ukraina-Ryssland-kriget.
This is a good example.
Vilka länder är helt beroende av Ukrainas veteexport till exempel?
A lot of countries in Africa, including Egypt. And it's like the rise in like food prices there is creating like a really, really heavy burden that could be actually society threatening.
Society threatening på vilket sätt?
As in like in the end you will not be able to feed the population.
Är det matbrist i världen eller är det brist på mat i Egypten för att Egypten inte kan få in vete till ett skäligt pris?
How do you mean? Because
om Egypten hade haft mycket mer cash, hade inte de kunnat köpa sig ur den här krisen?
Vet du vad? Jag tror inte det egentligen. Because I think Russia and Ukraine together were... Maybe I'm speaking out of my ass now, but I think they were like maybe producing 1/3 of like the wheat total consumption of the whole world. So you will have like, you know, det räcker inte till alla eventually. So if they are like 1/3 of the exports of wheat, that means that now suddenly there is a shortage in the total amount of wheat that can be consumed by people. The sitting in the silos of Ukraine and Russia or whatever, or Ukraine mostly.
Jag är inte övertygad om att det är de facto matbrist, utan jag ser det mer som en finansiell kris. Att på grund av hur ekonomin funkar och att det har blivit krig som gör att Egypten inte får tag på det vete de har avtal för och har avsatt pengar för, så finns det ingen mat som kan komma till Egypten.
But I mean like if they are the same, if it is a question of money, then it's also a question of shortage of supply, you know, because had there been abundant supply, abundant enough, like it's enough for everybody, it will not be that expensive.
But nej, okej, förvisso, det är sant. Men, okej, om nästa fråga då, är det helt omöjligt för något land att rampa upp sin matproduktion för att kunna exportera till Egypten?
This actually I don't know, but then again also depends on how like rewarding what you're planting is. Like for example in Egypt many prefer to cultivate cotton because you get more money for cotton instead of like wheat or whatever. So it depends on maybe if the price of wheat rises like sufficiently.
Så Egypten skulle kunna producera vete?
Jag tror det.
Aha. Och om vi tar andra extremen då, att alla länder är self-sufficient, där tror jag inte heller man är resilient mot climate change. Säg att det händer något med klimatet så att all vattenkraft i Sverige inte funkar längre. Då är vi fucked.
Ja.
Då får vi elbrist. Men jag tänker på, om du kollar statistik på antal människor som dör av väder- och klimatrelaterade händelser, de sjunker ju drastiskt.
Gör de?
Ja, det är färre som dör av hurricanes, rainfall, allt som har med väder och klimatrelaterade olyckor att göra.
But is this because that they are occurring less or because we have a stronger infrastructure that's protecting?
Starkare infrastruktur. Starkare infrastruktur.
Right.
Så jag är inte helt säker på att eftersom vi är helt interconnected så tror jag att vi kommer kunna klara av climate change. Till skillnad från tidigare civilisationer.
This is where I'm skeptical. It depends on how you mean that, because I think we might have a reverse sea peoples event.
Sea peoples. Can you,
the sea peoples are it's the fall of the Bronze Age is contributed to the attack of the sea peoples. One of the this is the kind of the main theory. So basically that people from the north mostly suddenly in great numbers
north var kan du
southern Europe for kind of it this is like probably where they came from
Typ Medelhavsregionen.
Yes, and then migrated to the Near East and led to like a lot of like these empires falling, including the Hittite Empire, the Assyrians. They had to like really retreat and like their empire shrunk. And this is how they preserved themselves, actually. This is how they survived. The Egyptians repelled the attack. There's Ramses III, you know, this famous, not picture, like a carving of Ramses III and other Egyptian generals throwing arrows at people coming in boats.
Mm-hmm.
That was the Battle of the Sea Peoples, where Egypt is like the only place that repelled their attack. But one of the theories is that because of rapid climate change, those people from Europe were pushed out of their territories because of famine and drought and things like that. And this is why they went in great numbers. Some people say actually as refugees. Mm-hmm. And they weren't planning on attacking.
So the här är the sea peoples. De blir yes. bortdrivna av klimat.
One of the main theories, yes.
Okay. So de är climate refugees.
Yes.
With swords.
With swords. And it seems that, so here, if you are suddenly, because in the end, it does not really matter if these people are, if you scale it up enough, it does not matter if these people are coming to attack you or not. Like, for example, if Europe is having on its border suddenly 100 million refugees, playing a role on them, like if they are attacking or not,
yeah.
because you can't have them. It's like they are trying to get on a lifeboat, where if like a lot of people will get on, the boat will sink.
Europa är lifeboaten.
Yes. Mm. So you will have to shoot them.
Yeah.
What to do? Like, or like prevent them from coming in with force if they don't like go back. So I'm thinking that it's possible that there is kind of a reverse scenario will happen, that more and more the climate in the south, as in like in the Middle East and Bangladesh and all these countries, will become basically too hostile for human life, whether because of drought and famine. There is like already starting to be water shortages. I think there could be water wars, like Egypt could be go to war with like Ethiopia and things like that, because they want to build dams on a dam on the River Nile, because Egypt takes the lion's share. Or temperature rising to an extent that they are not able to stay there anymore. And this will cause, this is why I'm saying a reverse, because they will be, instead of going from north to south, they will be going from south to north,
mm-hmm.
and crossing the Mediterranean the other way around. And you will have to like push back if it's like, it's kind of a mass invasion. So I think this is actually a probable scenario. That these, like all of these territories will be uninhabitable in the not so distant future, that they will have to seek a place that is more friendly to human survival.
Okay, om man tittar på IPCC's potential scenarios, det här är en av dem. Så ja, rent krasst, okay, it could happen. Jag utesluter inte det. Men jag vill veta, vad är din, för du sa att du är climate change denialist at the same time. Var kommer den biten ifrån?
Here, I think the one can say the climate panic in itself is a total natural reaction, because like I said, this has contributed a lot to a fall of many civilizations, climate change. So I think maybe people understand on some almost instinctive level that this can happen. So I think it's not totally out of the norm that some people are panicking, because I think maybe this will happen, and this kind of like rapid changes that will cause disasters. However, like I said, I've been a bit disillusioned that this is something that rapid, at least the message that I got before, that rapid climate change did not happen before. And it's happened only like after the Industrial Revolution and because of like emissions and so on, because of human activity. This is not true.
Det beror på hur man definierar climate change. Så om du definierar climate change som en global event där temperaturen ökar överallt, det kanske inte har hänt lika fort tidigare i historien. I alla fall sen vi hade civilisationer på den här planeten. Men det räcker ju med att det blir torka i en tillräckligt stor del av världen för 5000 år sedan.
Mm.
Och så får du samma effekter av global climate change. Att ett helt rike kollapsar. Och så kommer de, eller en kontinent kollapsar. Och så behöver de människorna flytta någon annanstans.
Yeah, could be. But even like, if I'm not mistaken, these events were almost worldwide, at least like non-civilizations worldwide. Because even like during the Bronze Age, when maybe the North has been way affected, the South has also been affected. There has been like famine and drought and things like that, but not in the same degree.
Mm-hmm.
And it has weakened actually these like empires as well, including Egypt. But then again, like I said, because I'm making fun of being like climate change denier, but I buy that human activity is contributing a lot to the current climate change. It's just that it was an eye-opener for me that this is not a new phenomena. Rapid climate change is not a new phenomena historically. And it is possible, from how I see it, that if we reduce the human activity that is affecting the climate in this way, we will also reduce the pace of climate change.
Jag är mer orolig för klimatpaniken. För att jag ser inte det som ett potentiellt scenario att vi kommer kunna övertyga 500 miljoner människor i väst, eller nästan en miljard om vi tar med hela USA också, att reducera sin konsumtion och aktivitet.
No, I agree with you.
Det ser inte jag alls som ett görbart scenario.
I agree with you. I think like
människor är urusla på att gå ner i levnadsstandard frivilligt.
Yeah,
vi hittar på alla möjliga narrativ och berättelser i våra huvuden för varför det inte är nödvändigt.
Yeah, I don't think this will happen. But okay, another way to put it, which is maybe more accurate, is to find a way to reduce our emissions.
Vi kastar teknologi på problemet.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but again, I don't know if it will really... Here, is there a way that we, with high probability, we would reduce our emissions to an extent that stops climate change?
Nej, det beror på om vi har kommit över någon sorts tipping point.
Ja.
Så att det inte går att backa.
Ja.
Jag tror inte världen kommer kollapsa även om vi får en massmigration av, say, 200 miljoner människor. Det kommer vara en brutal event. För väst kommer inte släppa in 200 miljoner pers som är på flykt. Inte ens de mest inbitna invandringsförespråkarna.
What will they do with them though? Because that's the thing. I agree with you that a lot of people will agree that you can't do it, but a lot of people also will not be able to use force they will like stop short of force.
Jag tror folk kommer göra det.
I don't think they have the guts.
Vi har gjort det förut. Vi har gjort det förut, vi kommer göra det igen. Jag säger inte att det är nice. Jag säger bara att det är inte en world collapsing event. Det är inte en civilization collapsing event. Det är den mest brutala massmordseventet som någonsin kommer att ha skett i mänsklighetens historia.
Depends on scale as well. Because if we're talking about like, I don't know if it will be 200 million, because Egypt only is 100 million. It's like, what if they are 1 billion? I don't know. But this is like one of the probable scenarios that I think we should talk about more and maybe like help these countries to be more sustainable somehow in this case, so that this doesn't happen.
Ja, men det vi vet är att koldioxidutsläpp leder till temperaturökning som i sin tur sätter igång en kaskad av andra effekter. Så där borde sannolikheten vara hög att om vi minskar på koldioxidutsläpp, det vill säga användning av fossila bränslen, så kanske vi kan reversera en viss del av den här effekten. Men det bygger på att vi kan reducera koldioxidutsläpp. Utan fusionskraft så kommer vi inte kunna göra det utan att upprätthålla den civilisation vi redan har i väst. Så vad finns det för utväg utöver fusion? För jag ser inte att människor kommer frivilligt dra ner sin levnadsstandard. Jag tror människor kommer till sista loddroppen hitta på varför vi inte ska dra ner vår levnadsstandard och bara fortsätta som vi gör.
So if I'm understanding you correctly, you mean that for us to reach like a sufficiently nuclear status, we need to kind of continue on the same path, producing like carbon dioxide and so on, and this can push us beyond the tipping point. Is this what you mean?
Men jag säger inte att vi ska göra det.
Mm.
Jag säger att jag tror inte vi har någon utväg.
Yeah, but I mean, like, why don't we just like focus on going nuclear? What would be...
Jaha, istället för fusion.
What is the difference?
Båda är ju en sorts kärnkraft. Men den kärnkraft vi har idag, det är fission. Där du klyver en atom och frigör energi genom den processen. Medan fusion, så tar du... Du slår ihop två atomer för att bilda ett nytt grundämne. Så det man testar fusion på idag, det är att man hettar upp deuterium, som är vatten egentligen, som innehåller en isotop av väte. Och det finns rätt mycket av det i naturen. Så det går att utvinna tillräckligt med deuterium för den här processen. Och då slår du ihop deuterium med tritium, som är ytterligare en annan isotop av väte, som däremot är väldigt, väldigt sällsynt. Så även om vi skulle få fusion att funka, så vet vi inte hur vi kan producera tillräckligt med tritium idag. Det finns olika processer för att göra det, men de är inte så billiga just nu. Men tänk på att aluminiumbestick var mycket mer värdefullt än guldbestick en gång i tiden. För vi visste inte hur man utvinner aluminium och förädlar det på ett tillräckligt kostnadseffektivt sätt. Medan idag så dricker vi kola ur en aluminiumburk och kastar bort den som om det inte är värt någonting. Men i alla fall, för fusionskraft så slår du ihop deuterium och tritium. Och då bildas helium. Men i den processen så frigörs det, jag tror det är tre eller fyra gånger mer energi än klassisk fission som våra kärnreaktorer använder sig av idag. Och radioaktiviteten för fusion är ett extremt mycket mindre problem. Jag tror halveringstiden för tritium är 12 år eller någonting.
Okay.
Så det är en helt annan nivå av radioaktivitet som är mycket, mycket ofarligare jämfört med kärnkraft som vi har idag.
But how do we get there?
Well, we pray.
Well, I don't know. I would say that I'm neither optimistic nor pessimistic, but I want to kind of like cover all fronts, think about all scenarios, you know? And I think if you think about survival, you have also to think about catastrophic events and be prepared for them. Reverse sea people event. Let's see.
Men sea peoples, okay, visst, klimatförändringar kan ha lett till att de var tvungna att migrera.
One theory.
Ja.
Mm.
Vad är det som gjorde att imperierna som mötte de här sea peoples, att de inte klarade av att pusha tillbaka?
That's a good point. Again, the military alliances and interconnectedness of trade. So a lot of these places, they had military alliances with one another. And it was like a combination of factors. So first, they themselves were weakened by climate change. They were not able to, like, there were like crop failings even in the Near East. So they were kind of weakened. But also, if you have like you have an alliance with a state that is being attacked by the sea peoples, and then suddenly your neighbor who's hostile to you understands, one, you're weak because of like your crops have been failing. Two, your friend is not there to help you. They attack them. So the Dorians, for example, they attacked the Mycenaeans in Greece, other places like the neighbors, when they saw like Egypt was tied down with the sea peoples, they can't help the Hittites, for example, then they were attacked by others and so on. So it was like a cascading event, like, you know, it was a domino effect.
Mm-hmm.
And you had basically just two places that survived. Assyria, by retreating, they basically left the territories that they had expanded to before and just like retreated to a small area where they thought this was manageable for them, which is pretty smart, because after the Bronze Age, it was the Assyrians who rose to like dominated everything.
Hmm.
And the Egyptians, who managed by setting an ambush for the sea peoples and to repel them. And they even... Another interesting theory, they relocate one of the sea, so the sea peoples were not just one ethnic group, they were many, and one of them the Egyptians called Palastu, or the Philistines.
Mm-hmm.
And some theorized that they were actually Mycenaeans from Greece, but the Egyptians took them and forced, displaced them into Canaan, into Palestine. So some people say that this is the origins of the Palestinians. That they were basically, it was the Egyptians who created the Palestinians. It's possible.
Du är Kirkegård.
Ja.
Vänta. Mustafa ringer. Ska bara låsa upp.
Ni har gått bakom våra ryggar.
Nej.
Jo, det här är en kupp. Det är så här man gjorde i Iran med revolutionen. Och det är inte tillfällighet att det är Ashkan som sitter vid bordet här. Ni kommer bli lurade på revolutionen igen.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact. You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.